Well, good morning, everyone. It is so awesome to be here with you today. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas because we get to celebrate the birth of Jesus here today. And I want to remind everybody here, one of the themes that we have been emphasizing in this last season is what the definition of faith is, and that is that God is bigger. And so I want to say this today, whatever it is that you are experiencing, whatever it is that you are facing in your life, remind yourself, God is bigger. He's for you. He's not against you. He's going to help you. I just really believe that here today. And I'm believing, God, that we're going to see greater breakthroughs in our life here in this season as we begin to move forward in it. Again, as you heard today, we are going to be able to celebrate Christmas Eve on Friday night at 3:30 and 5 o'clock. And as Naomi already shared, please think about somebody that you can invite to come with you, to join with you, that could hear the hope of Jesus, that might encourage them, and they can get to know our church family and community. Well, I want to say this today as I start, as we are in our series called Joy. I want to say, joy to the world, the Lord has come. You know, we sang about that this morning. That is one of my favorite Christmas songs, and because, you know why? Because it fills my heart with such hope. It's a declaration that Jesus is here. Now, I want you to hear this, that in 1719 is when that song was written. It was written by a hymn writer by the name of Isaac Watts. He actually penned over 750 hymns in his lifetime. He wrote some books. He did different things. But he wrote that song, Joy to the World, that we sing as a triumphal thought about Jesus coming into the world. And not only does that song celebrate the birth of Jesus, but it was a declaration of the anticipation of his triumphal reign on the earth, that he would reign in people's lives, but also that he's going to come back one day and reign on this earth. Now, we have to understand this, that when Isaac Watt wrote this song, he lived in a period of incredible chaos. England, because he was a British person, was at war with Spain, one of its greatest rivals. They had had battles for centuries that had been going on, and they were at war with them. Actually, the Spaniards had the upper hand when it came to the seas and the shipping lanes, and so they were battling with them. They were also continuing to press into their colonial conquests of standing outposts in the Americas and in parts of Africa. And here's what they also were battling with, a constant worry about the return of a devastating disease such as the bubonic plague, which was known as the Black Death. It was constantly on their mind. At one point in Europe, they had lost a third of their population due to this disease. Does it kind of sound familiar, some of the things that maybe we're experiencing right now? Listen to this. Their religious freedom was an ongoing struggle as there was the Catholics and the Protestants were battling out who would be the dominant force in religion, because in their culture, it was whoever was the preeminent religion. They had a lot of could put pressure on people. And in the midst of all of it, he wrote a song declaring to Jesus' followers that we had much to celebrate. Why? And be joyful about. Why? Because Jesus was alive. Now, the foundation of the song was out of Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. This is very a popular scripture for this season of year. And here's what it says. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." We know that when Jesus came to earth, the world was also in a season of chaos. And can I say this? Every generation has had places where there is a lot of chaos around them. There isn't a generation that hasn't lived through difficult times or seasons. It's very easy many times for us to think that what we're living in right now, nobody's ever gone through it before. But the reality is that each generation faces its own challenges. So here's what was going on in Jesus' time. People were struggling to find hope because of the harsh rulership of the Roman Empire. They were putting heavy taxes on them, mounting government control and oppressive treatment were growing for those who were deemed non-citizens. If you were not a Roman citizen, life was pretty challenging for you. And through it all, in a nondescript cave, a little baby, Jesus the Messiah, was born. Now, Jesus was born not to rid the world of chaos and challenges. We see that goes on all the time, which is what people hope for, but to free them from themselves, from the pursuit of themselves, from doing what they thought they needed to do. You see, we have joy not because of our circumstances, but because Jesus is alive. I want to say that again. We have joy not because of our circumstances, but because Jesus is alive. And here's the good news. Regardless of what is happening around us, we will overcome because Jesus, the light of the world, lives inside of us. You see, the joy of the world, he is inside of you. Now, that's a stark contrast for those who have put their hope in other things, such as money, job or education, a healthcare system, and especially the government. I guarantee you put your faith in any of those things right now, you will be disappointed. You will be discouraged. But here's what I believe. Everyone needs hope. You see, joy is rooted in hope. Hope and joy go together like peanut butter and jelly. You cannot have one without the other. They just kind of flow together. They work together. And how do we, like Isaac Watt, experience joy in the midst of our chaos, in the midst of the challenges that we face, in the midst of things that we struggle with? How do we find that and experience that? Well, we also have to understand when we look at this, that many centuries before even Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words in great anticipation of Jesus coming to earth. In Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness covers the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you." When Isaiah wrote these words, it was a prophetic vision of the birth of Jesus. As Jesus had not yet come yet. It was 300 years later, or 400 years, I believe, later, that Jesus would come to the earth. And as he wrote this declaration of faith, he said, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." Now, here's what I know. Light shines greatest in the darkness. The greater the darkness, the greater the light. Now, I have to confess something to you here today. That when I sleep, when I want to go to bed, I don't like any light in my room. Is there anybody else like that? That you need a dark place? I mean, I don't like there to be, like, the clock radio gets moved so that I can't see the clock. Especially, I know when we go on trips, we'll be staying at a hotel, and I like put towels on everything because it's like everything has a LED feature. I don't like it. It keeps me from being able to have a good sleep. See, the dark is better. And here's what I want to say, that we need to understand that a little light removes much darkness. See, it doesn't take a lot of light. Some light will remove darkness. Now, who here would agree there is much darkness around us? We see it. And it's easy to feel like the darkness is squeezing us, trying to restrict us, maybe even suffocate us. In fact, some of you today might be feeling like the darkness is winning. Like, oh my goodness, Lord, I don't know what to do. It just feels like it's crowding around me. Are some of you feeling that way today? Would you say, hey, I'm experiencing some of this that you're talking about? Or is it just me? Am I just kind of, this is my own little personal thing that I'm dealing with? I don't think so. See, I believe this, that the enemy wants to snuff out your light so that you don't experience the light of the joy of the Lord. Or he wants you to cover your own light. You see, joy is releasing the light of Jesus from inside of us. When we have joy, it allows the light to come out and not only affect us, but it affects other people. When we walk in joy, it shines forth for others to see and experience. That's why when Isaiah wrote, "Arise, shine, for your light has come," and all the verse also goes on to say, "And the glory of the Lord will rise upon you." One of my favorite prophets that I like to listen to says this: "These are not gloomy days, but they're glory days." You know, you're living in a great time and a great season. Why? Because it gives us an opportunity for our light to shine, for Jesus' joy to be pushed out of our, to be released through us. You see, God designed for his glory to shine through us. When we allow joy to fill our hearts, we reflect the glory of God. We were designed to manifest his glory. That's why today, what is the name of the title of my message? It's called "Get Your Joy On." God wants us to get our joy on. He wants us to, or how to release joy. You see, when I first came to church, I was 11 years old when I really first started to get involved in church. Now, I shared with you that my mom, many times my mom became a Christian when I was 11, and we went from never going to church to basically living at the church. And I wasn't really thrilled about this, but I remember when I would go to Sunday school, one of the songs that we would sing was "This Little Light of Mine." You know that song? "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine." And so we would go through that, and eventually you get to the verses would be like, "Hide it under a bushel." No! I'm gonna let it shine. Why? See, the song was about us not allowing for the light, our joy, the glory of God to be covered up, to be hidden. Why? Because people need to experience God's joy and his glory. It comes from Matthew 5, 16 to 18. It says this: "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Oh, God, you want us to glorify. You want people to see your light. You want our light to shine. You want the joy of the Lord to come out of us. So you see, when we release joy, the joy of the Lord, we are releasing God's glory to the world. So how do you celebrate when you do not feel like celebrating? Well, when I was a kid as well, one of the things that I like to do, you're kind of probably getting an idea that I was a little bit of a challenging child. I tried to stay home from school as often as I could. Any other people that are professionals? I don't want to see, if you're kids, you might want to wink at me. You don't want to let your parents know that this is what you're doing, because you don't want to confess that. But when I was growing up, I tried to stay home. Why? Because one of the things that I like to do is watch television. You know, I know people aren't really as much into television these days. Streaming, and Netflix, YouTube, you can kind of see all of it. But when I was growing up, man, TV was it. That's what you look forward to. The three channels that we had, hey, hallelujah. You know, I mean, you would schedule your week based on what the TV guide. You'd pull it out and you'd be like, "All right, we're going to circle this." And you just prayed to the Lord that your parents didn't trump what you wanted to watch. You know, that, you know, if my mom wanted something else, that was too bad. But here's one of the things that I liked to do. You see, I knew what the schedule was during the day. You could get up before school. You could watch early morning cartoons. Then normally I'd go to school, but after that was the news and a few things. And then game shows would come on. Hallelujah. You know, Card Sharks, Price is Right. We're going to talk about that here in a minute. Then there were soap operas in the early afternoon, and then reruns after school, and then news. Yeah, boring. Nobody cares about that stuff. And then you'd get to watch all of the new cool shows that were on if that's your homework was done. That was also another challenge. Anyways, but I would, one of the shows I liked to watch was The Price is Right. Who likes The Price is Right? I think it's still on, I believe, in some format. But here's, if you haven't watched it, at the end of the show, one of the things they do, that the top two winners of the day would have the showcase showdown. And so the person that had the biggest win of the day, they got to choose whether they wanted showcase showdown number one or number two, but they had to decide after seeing showcase number one, and typically they would bring out all these prizes. It could be trips to Hawaii, Singapore, bedroom furniture. And typically one of the showcases would have a new car, right? They would announce that. And so, but what you had to do if you were in the top spot is you would have to watch the first one and decide whether or not you were going to take that showcase or take your chances on showcase number two. Now, people would be yelling and screaming, but the reality of it was is that you had to make a choice. Here's what my point of all of this is. To experience the fullness of joy, we must choose joy. Joy is a choice. You see, when Isaiah says, "Arise, shine," he's not asking for us to be joyful. It is a declaration. It could be considered a command. It would be like, you arise, you shine. Why? Because your light has come. And so even though it impacts our and feelings, joy goes beyond our feelings. Joy is something that we choose to do and experience. So how do we choose joy? How do we do that? I'm going to give you three things today. If joy is a choice, how do we choose it? Well, number one, we can choose joy by growing in gratitude. We grow in our gratitude. We learn how to be thankful. One of the ways that we show gratitude is by praising God. We got to do that for part of our worship time here today. You see, what makes worship and praise so powerful is that it changes our focus off of ourselves. It changes our focus off of hopefully the things that maybe we experienced this week, the exam that we either did really well on or maybe we didn't do as well as we thought, that person at work that we're struggling with. I mean, there's a lot of things that come against us as people. I know this, that even when we're on our way to church, sometimes those can be the most challenging moments. That's when you and your spouse have some, I like to call it intense fellowship. You know, you have a discussion where people have some strong opinions about things, or you have intense fellowship with your children. You know, there's just, it can happen, or the guy cuts you off, and you can have all of these things. And the beautiful thing about worship is that it allows us to put our focus on God and show that we have a thankfulness towards God for what he's done in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you died for me. Thank you that you're in control. Thank you that you give us the power. Thank you that you're awesome and amazing. You see, that's what worship really is about. It's talking about all of his great things. And when the more that we worship God, the more that joy is released. You see, here's what the psalmist declares in Psalms 98, verses 4 to 6. Listen, he says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song and music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing." Now, I haven't seen the harp. That'd be kind of cool. But with trumpets and the blast of the rams, shout for joy before the Lord, the King. You see, we need to learn to praise God in all situations. It's a choice to worship God. I love to worship God because it can change my whole countenance. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. You were having a rough day and you came in and you started worshiping God and everything changed. And here's what's cool. I want to say this to you. Did you know that you can create worship even outside of Sunday morning? That you can worship God, and in fact, I recommend that you do it every day. Maybe it's in your bedroom. Maybe it's your bathroom, I don't know, your garage, your car can be your worship place. I believe we need to spend time praising and worshiping God in our prayer time. And here's what I want to encourage you. We have so much worship available music to us today. You know that little device that you have that you talk to people on? That can hold thousands to tens of thousands of songs. There are so many apps that you can get where you can download music. I want to encourage you, put some worship music into where you're at. It will produce more gratitude in your heart. But I also believe this, that we can practice being thankful. We can practice being thankful, reminding ourselves of the good things that God has done for us. You see, I believe this, that God wants us to make it a habit. In fact, I want to challenge you here today, even as we're celebrating the birth of Jesus at Christmas time, that maybe over the next few weeks that you would do what I like to call 21 days of gratitude. And that is to commit to be thankful for everything that comes your way. When I say everything, I mean everything. Even that driver that cut you off this morning, God, thank you for that person. God, would you bless them? Would you encourage them? Thank you for that lady that kind of was a little bit snotty to me at the store today. God bless her. Hallelujah. I thank you for that. But we thank him for the good things. Jesus, thank you for being a part of it. I want to encourage you, make a list of 21 things you're thankful for and read over it every day. I challenge you to do this. And then here's the really challenging thing. Resist complaining or criticism of any kind during the 21 days. Who thinks they could do that? 21 days, no complaining, no criticism. Man, there's lots of hands going up here. People are like, yeah, Pastor, I can do this. I'll guarantee you, if you work on this, if you were to commit to this, I bet you would experience more joy in your life. I guarantee that if you practice gratitude, you'll experience more joy. Okay, first of all, we practice gratitude. We grow in our gratitude. The second thing is we celebrate giving, that we celebrate giving. Now, giving is so much more than money. It also includes our time and our talents. You see, I believe this. All of us do not have equal resources, but the one thing we all have is equal time, and how we spend our time can be an incredible way of how we can be generous, how we can give to other people. I believe this, that helping people, being there for people can be so much fun. I remember many, many years ago, my wife and I took a team of teenagers on a mission trip to Mexico. And as part of the trip, we decided to give back to each of our team members the money they'd raised and all the time that we spent getting ready to do that. We decided to say, here's $50, $50 that you raised over the course of the 11 days that we're on this mission trip. We want you to pray and ask God for an opportunity to bless somebody, somebody that you see. It can be a stranger. It can be somebody that you see at a church that we're ministering to. Wherever it is, we want you to just to do that. And so we had kids from 12 all the way up to 17 years old. And so we began to do that. And here's what the only requirement was for them, was that they would share when we came back together in the evening what they had done, what God had led them to do. And I mean, there was all sorts of things that were bought, soap and toothbrushes, new shoes were purchased. Even a few of them got together and bought new tires for somebody that their car needed, some new tires. There were so many great things that happened, some for people they knew, others for complete strangers. But more important than the gifts that were given, here's what was so cool, were the stories that they shared about how God had used them to meet a need. And they would look forward to every night, well, who did something? I want to hear the story. They couldn't wait for the story. It was so good. There was so much excitement and joy that was the result of giving. Acts 20:35 says, it is better to give than to receive. You see, giving releases joy. I want to encourage you to find a person or a family that you can bless. There are so many things you can do. It can be a simple word of encouragement, a quick test. Text, not a test. That would not be encouraging for some of you. It could be a card that you send to somebody. Maybe it's shoveling somebody's driveway. There's a lot of that probably that's needed right now. Or mowing a lawn. Well, that's not something you're going to do right now. There's all sorts of needed projects. I know that there are families that have decided, instead of giving gifts to each other, that they would pick a family to bless. I think that is so awesome. I think there is things that we can do. Why? Because it releases joy. If you give without the expectation of giving back, you will experience great joy. And I want to say that to you, that where you will get in trouble is if you give and you expect something in return. That will ruin your joy. All right? Well, here's my last one. How do we choose joy? How do we experience, how do we get our joy on? I'm going to say this. By bringing joy to Jesus, or making his joy complete. Well, how do we do that? I want to read Philippians 2, verses 1 to 4, and this is where I'm going to end this message. It says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not only looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. You see, I could have preached my whole message on this verse, as there's so much in there. But the gist of this verse is that when we bring Jesus joy, we experience joy ourselves. Last week, Peter, as he preached a great message on joy, gave you what joy means. He gave you the acronym. It's first Jesus first, others second, yourself third. I would have said last, but that's probably not the way it really should be. We'll take third place. That's okay. But see, what is it that brings Jesus joy? What are the things that bring Jesus joy? I believe, first of all, if we look at this verse, being in good relationship with one another. That when we are in good relationship with each other, it brings joy to God. I think, how do we do that? I believe we need to have an emphasis on staying right, staying in good relationship with people, rather than being right. One of the things that I've noticed in this season is that a lot of people want to be right. I'm right about my views on what's going on in the world. I'm right on my views about the government or what they're doing, or I'm right about this. And so people get so caught up in being right that they don't realize, or maybe they do, but we sometimes forget how valuable it is, and we destroy relationships with people. You know, there's a reason I don't talk a lot about this, and I don't care whether or not you are vaxxed or not. I'm just going to say that. Because to me, relationship is more important. You see, there's a lot of things we can fight about, but relationship is more important than what side of the fence you are there. It's more important for me to prove, it's not more important for me to prove that I'm right and destroy my relationships in the process. I don't think that's where we should be living. And I believe that many of us need to understand that one of the great testimonies and tools that we have in the body of Christ is that we can forgive each other, and that forgiveness is a powerful tool that releases joy. And I want to encourage you this season to examine your relationships and see if you need to forgive, or maybe even you need to ask for forgiveness. I'm believing for people to be free and for joy to be released. Then Jesus goes on to say in the second part of this, and if Margo wants to come up, that would be awesome, that by placing greater value on others. You see, in the hustle and bustle of life, it's easy to get caught up in our own situations and forget about other people. I got to be honest here, I'm an introvert. I love time away from everything. I like to kind of go into my man cave. I like to be away from people. And the problems sometimes that I face is I can get caught up in my own little world, only what's going on around me. And so it takes sometimes some work for me, but there's a blessing in reaching out to others or preferring others or caring about others. You see, when we care about the needs of others, it brings great joy to Jesus. But not only that, it produces great joy inside of us. It helps us to take our eyes off of ourselves and gives us a new perspective. See, I believe investing that we should not only invest time with our friends, but people that are not maybe in our regular circle. Have you ever just blessed somebody that you didn't know before? Bought somebody, their food at the drive-through line. Just, paid for it and, the pay it forward. We've heard of stuff like that. Or given up your spot in line at the grocery store. It's just preferring people. It's saying, you know what, I care about you. Or spending time with people, but really spending time with people. You see, in this day and age, because of our cell phones and our iPads and our other devices, we can be with people and yet not be with people. I think one of the greatest gifts we can be is being present, turning things off, listening to what people have to say, valuing them, caring about them. And here's the last thing I want to share about what is it that brings Jesus joy. When we come together to work together to do some common good. And what do I mean by that? I believe that when we spend time together as the body of Christ, and we spend time together as people, and We come up with even projects or things that we can do to help one another. And we spend that time in relationship and in doing the work of the ministry together. I believe that it blesses God's heart. You see, there's great power that comes from teamwork or being united around a common purpose. For years in our church, we used to make apple pies to raise money for the youth ministry. Who remembers the apple pies, okay? I'm going to ask for hands here. Who has participated in making apple pies at one point in your life? Many of you still were a part of that. And here's what was really cool about it. For a season, it was our only fundraiser that we did. We'd make a 1,000. I think the most pies we made in one year was 1,500. It was crazy. We would do it over 2 or 3 days. It was an amazing project. And I remember that as we were doing this, what became apparent over time that was more important than the money that was raised were the relationships that were built that as people worked together. I mean, I remember the kitchen and people would be, their backs would be sore, their hands would be tired, but the laughter, the joy that was just shared in doing something together, just being together. And there was so much joy and laughter and relationships were built and things begin to happen because of it. People that never would have probably hung out together all of a sudden realized, I want to spend more time with you, and these things would forge afterwards. You see, that's the picture of what the church is really called to be. I believe that people need each other. And we need to look for more opportunities to do things together. I believe that in this last couple years with what's going on, that's been, the enemy's tried to snuff that out. And I'm telling you, we're going to be looking for more opportunities to do those kinds of things together. Why? Because we need it. How can we do this? I believe we can help find meals for people that are sick or that need help. I believe there's all sorts of things that we can do. How about also we can just get back involved in serving in the church and being here to relate to other people, to help other people. You see, there's much to do around here so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can go forward. I say this, arise, shine, for your light has come. May the joy of the Lord not only be your strength, but may the glory of the Lord shine through you. I want to pray today. I believe God wants to encourage us that we have much to celebrate. As followers of Jesus, we have much to celebrate. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Jesus is here with us. Jesus is part of us. We got to remind ourselves, but in order to do it, we have to choose joy. We have to choose to put our joy on, that we can grow in our gratitude, that we can continue to be people that are those who give to other people. We give of ourselves. And we also can find joy by making His joy complete, pleasing Jesus. Maybe you're here today and your joy is lacking. Maybe you're not feeling it right now. Maybe you feel like your light is being dimmed, that the darkness just feels like it's crowding around you, that it's overwhelming you today. I'm here to tell you that God is here, and God wants to let your light shine, that God wants to help your light to shine. And so, Father, I pray for people that are here today, Father, in this season, Lord, that you would release the light of your glory through our lives. Father, I pray for those today that just feel like they're being pressed in all around with darkness. I pray, Jesus, right now that the light of your glory would push back that darkness. And Lord, that they would experience your light. But Lord, not only for themselves, but Lord, they would be able to release it to other people. Lord, I'm praying for people that are in a place of struggling in their relationship. I'm just saying God today is speaking to you. He's calling you back to himself. He wants to fill you with his light. He wants to fill you with his life and his love. You just have to choose him. For some of you, you're just battling right now with negative thoughts, negative feelings, just feeling negative. And God is just saying, choose joy today. Choose joy. You can do this. I guarantee you, as you choose joy, that his grace will come upon you in a new way, and you will experience, you will actually begin to experience that joy. Lord, I pray for those today who are here that are battling with just, Lord, maybe there's sickness in their body. Lord, maybe they've got some bad news this week, Father God. You are greater. I just pray that you'd heal those who are battling with any sickness. I pray for those right now who are battling with cancer. In the name of Jesus, I just pray, Father God, that you would give them life today, that you'd speak, I just speak life to their body. I speak wholeness and health to them today, Jesus. Oh, Father God, put a word in our heart. Lord, help us to come back together. Lord, to work together, to walk together, to be together. And Lord, may as we do that, may the glory of the Lord just descend on us, but not just on us, but be poured out of us. Lord, I pray for those who are seeking you. Lord, that when they come and they meet us, they would find you. That we'd be a reflection of your life and your glory today. Father, I say thank you for everything. Thank you for everything today. We bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. I want to do just a couple things here for those who are listening, whether you're online or you're here, and maybe you're not serving the Lord, or you've maybe never made a commitment to make Jesus the center of your life, saying, Jesus, help lead me and guide me. Take control of my life. If you want to receive him today, I want you just to pray this prayer with me. Let's pray this together. Jesus, I confess that I've sinned. I ask you to forgive me, to free me. Help me to become like you. I thank you for your death, burial, and resurrection. And I receive your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed that prayer today and you're really like, this is what I want in my life, I want to encourage you to do two things. I want to encourage you, first of all, talk to somebody, let somebody know, say, I prayed that. You can make a comment in the chat areas and online. You can reach out to somebody here. We'll be here for you. And secondly, I want to encourage you to send us, let us know that you made that decision. If you can do that by emailing us at info@eastsidecitychurch.ca. We want to help you grow in your faith. And we have people, and we also have things that we'd like to help you grow with. And so if you'll reach out to us, we'll reach out back out to you, and we'll help you in that journey. But I want to say this today. Again, if you have any needs here, you have anything that you would like prayer for, as we close our service time, I want to invite you to come. And we'll have people here that are going to pray with you, encourage you. Whatever it is that you need, God is here to help meet that need today. I believe that with all my heart. So I want to encourage you this week, go in the joy of the Lord. If for those of you that are able to, we have prayer on Monday nights from 7:30 to 8:30 on Zoom. You can find that link at eastsidecitychurch.ca. I want to encourage you to join with us. It's been an incredible season and journey that we've been on in that. It's been awesome for those who are turning out. But I want to invite you again on Friday night, at 3:30 and 5 o'clock, we are going to have our Christmas Eve services. So I look forward to seeing you, and bring somebody with you. God bless and have a great day.